let's talk about the flip side of the common enemy, right? So if your common enemy is what you have to fight against, and that's the expectations we just talked about, then your driving force is what you fight for, right? So just like Spider-Man fights to save New York, or Batman fights to save Gotham, or Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information, I want to know what it is that you fight for, your mission, so to speak.
Well, my mission, I love to help businesses grow. I get a real kick out of working with my business owner friends and helping them with the challenges of the marketing and sales part of their businesses. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. We're in the same boat, right? That's why we run the podcast. I'm a huge fan of storytelling as a method for growing a company. And man, it's fun to be in a place where you're like, I can leverage my superpowers to help someone else make their lives better and make the lives of the people they work with better and just provide value in the way that we can provide value.
Heroes are an inspiring group of people. Every one of them, from the larger-than-life comic book heroes you see on the big silver screen, to everyday heroes that let us live the privileged lives we do. Every hero has a story to tell. From the doctor saving lives at your local hospital, to the war veteran down the street who risked his life for our freedom, to the police officers and the firefighters who risk their safety to ensure ours. Every hero is special and every story worth telling. But there is one class of heroes that I think is often ignored. The entrepreneur, the creator, the producer. The ones who look at the problems in this world and think to themselves, you know what? I can fix that. I can help people. I can make a difference. And they go out and do exactly that by creating a new product or introducing a new service. Some go on to change the world. Others make a world of difference to their customers. Welcome to the Hero Show. Join us as we pull back the masks on the world's finest heropreneurs and learn the secrets to their powers, their success, and their influence, so you can use those secrets to attract more sales, make more money, and experience more freedom in your business. I'm your host, Richard Matthews, and we are on in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome back to the Hero Show. My name is Richard Matthews, and today I have the pleasure of having online Patricia Cowan. Patricia, are you there?
I am here. Yes. Hi, Richard.
Awesome. Glad to have you here, Patricia. I know we chatted a couple of weeks ago about your company. You are the founder of Rainmaker Sales Support, which is pretty cool. Where are you calling in from today? Where's home?
St. Louis, Missouri, right in the middle of the country.
Nice. For my audience that knows we travel, we just moved to Florida. We spend most of the summers in Florida. We were actually in St. Louis maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. So we just drove through there on our way to Tennessee. I went to college there. It's a pretty place. I like St. Louis.
Yay. Awesome.
So what I want to do before we get too far in the interview is I always like to dive in and do an introduction for our guests so our audience knows who you are, and then we'll dive into your story. So Patricia started her company with a vision of a workplace that everyone looked forward to coming to every day, a place that provides the best service, but from happy people that had a great work-life balance. For over 25 years, this has been the case. Rainmaker provides the top-of-the-line professional B2B outreach, but the staff have become family. We get out of the office and do monthly event get-togethers, and everyone's encouraged and reminded that we are a family-first company. Go to the Halloween party, leave early to get to the baseball game. We support each other, and it shows up in our work. I love that. As an introduction, one of the things that we talk about at our company all the time is being a family-first entrepreneurship is like a modus operandi, so to speak. So appreciate that. But I guess what I want to have you start with is tell us a little bit about what you're known for, right? What's your business like? Who do you serve? What do you do for them?
Oh, gotcha. So my company, in large part, business-to-business appointment setting. So for you, we can set appointments for you with business owners to do podcasts for them to tell their story. For a janitorial company, we get them in front of facility managers. For a print company, we'll get them appointments with marketing managers. So whoever their targets are, our specialty is getting you an appointment to talk about your services with your prospects. So that's what we do. So we do it primarily through calling. About 90% is our call center work, but we also use emailing, some direct mail, some LinkedIn for our clients, things like that.
Awesome. So you guys drive appointments with the phone.
Correct. We do.
So I'm just curious, how does a company like that, how do you guys charge for something like that? Do you guys charge like a per appointment basis? Is it a results basis, retainer? Like, how do you guys work?
We actually charge by the hour. And that's one of the models in my industry. There are many. You mentioned several of them. The pay by appointment type is fairly common. But you know, I always say, if you pay me by appointment or I pay my folks by appointment, everybody's grabbing the low-hanging fruit. Everyone wants their buck right along the way. Our specialty, I would say, is the larger, more robust location. So if you're bringing into a company with 1,000 employees and you got to break down the main receptionist, then the facilities manager's receptionist and whatnot, we just need the benefit of time to work that. So we are compensated hourly to make sure that we have the time to work those larger locations correctly.
That makes a lot of sense. So you guys are targeting the sort of the bigger organizations and have lined your incentives up appropriately to make that happen.
Yes. I mean, again, if our clients want smaller locations, it's not that we don't do those as well. I mean, we're really good at getting any type of location you're looking to. But again, to really kind of nail some of the big fish, we got to have the benefit of time. So that's how our pricing structure came into being.
So I'm curious then, for, you know, so if you just use our company as an example, we do podcasting for businesses. One of our targets is personal injury attorneys, right? Yeah. What would your staff need to know about our company in order to book an appointment? Like, how do you guys build that into your model?
That's a great question. Well, we have a kickoff meeting where I would say, Richard, you know, what are your biggest selling points? What makes you different from your competitors? Why should they consider you over somebody else? And I build some of the script from there. I also go through websites. And then the team, similarly, really knows each client. So they're charged with, you know, we have a written script. I got to go like this to your desk. You got to be able to tell me about the client before we ever get on the phone. Now, even though we know all of that, we also don't even know as much as you might think. We really get on the phone about 2 to 3 sentences to pique their interest. We say about 10 seconds. So we better pick the best selling points, because that's all we get to get them interested enough to take a meeting with our clients. So we need to know and understand your business thoroughly. But on the flip side, we're down as much time as you think to talk to these people.
So figure out what the hook is that gets someone to an appointment, because you guys aren't selling the service. You guys are just selling the appointment.
Correct. And we really pay attention to that. I always tell my clients, we know more after 90 days what's going on in your area than we do before we start. We'll know which of our bullets the fish are biting at. Maybe they currently don't have representation. Maybe they haven't seen their sales rep. Maybe it's pricing. Maybe it's any of those things. But know from the feedback we get as we're working, where the selling point should be in your area, just because the buyers will tell us what's going on as we call.
That makes a lot of sense. So how do you guys actually, like, say, book appointments with the salespeople, right? Because, you know, you have to interface with your client's sales team. Do you guys get access to their calendar and just book directly on their calendar? I know, like, services like Calendly and stuff like that are really popular nowadays. You just get the salespeople's calendar links. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, some people, of course, will say, schedule me in time, I'm plenty open. Other folks will give me couple blocks, like a Tuesday morning and a Thursday afternoon. They'll keep open. If they don't have appointments, they need paperwork or whatnot. But that works well too without calendars, is them just keeping a couple blocks of time during their week open. But other than that, yes, we can calendar share. I love Calendly. I could do a commercial for Calendly as a free service. It's really an awesome product. So that product makes life easier for us to book for our clients as well.
Nice. So do you guys have any industries, like, you guys work just across industry, or are you guys industry, like, specific for specific verticals you work in, or just working in anyone who wants to do appointment setting?
Really anyone. And I know that sounds very broad. I do about 8 trade shows, industry trade shows across the country every year. And so those shows, I have a lot in those verticals. So janitorial, printing, vending, IT, office supplies, landscaping. So we have quite a few clients in those verticals, but then we have more one-offs that you can imagine. Custom mold, rubber manufacturing, really anybody that wants to get in front of prospects, we can help.
Nice. Podcasting company. We might be one-offs at some point. Yeah. I have just something I like to bring up regularly on the show, because we, as a marketing company, it's one of the things we talk about all the time. And I know where you guys fit in this. And I just want to see, like, how you guys sell, see if this fits in there. So we talk all the time about buy, borrow, build, and blitz as your 4 ways to drive leads for your business, right? You can buy ads and get in front of the right people and book appointments. So that's, like, you know, Facebook ads or YouTube ads or Google ads or billboard ads, right? Whatever they are, right? You can buy ads and get in front of audience and appointments, book sales appointments. You can borrow audience, right? That's like, you know, booking a booth at a trade show, right? That would be borrowing the trade show's audience, or speaking on stage at the trade show, or getting on someone else's podcast like you're doing with me, right? You're borrowing someone else's audience. You can build your own audience. That's, you know, like building your own podcast, building your own YouTube show, building your own email list, building your own SMS list, building your own direct, you know, whatever, like direct mail list of your customers or whatever. Those are like building your own thing. And then there's the last one, which is where you fit. And that's blitz, is when you are reaching out cold to people to book appointments or book sales. And that would be, you know, cold calls, cold email, cold direct mail, things like that. And so I always tell people in their company, you should have at least one strategy in all 4 of those categories. You should have something going in borrow, buy, borrow, build, and blitz. And I'm just curious, in your experience, how do you think cold calling stacks up against some of their other cold options, like LinkedIn cold or email cold or direct mail cold? And why would you say you should run, you know, cold calls versus some of your other options you could try?
Well, you know, I'm probably the only salesperson in the world that will tell you, I don't believe in the versus, this versus that. And I know like every email company will tell you, oh, you got an email, it's the way to go. And, you know, I think, I learned years and years ago, somebody in some seminar that wasn't me taught me that people respond to the senses. So if you can, in marketing, hit all five senses, you're going to sweep in more people that way. And it always stuck with me. So calling is definitely one way, right? You're going to hear them. A direct mail piece, you will read and touch. An email, you're reading. If you get them cooking, smell. If you can shake your hand, you're touching them. So I do believe that the way to get the most response is a varied approach. To have a podcast, to have this, to try that, to do a little bit, not only the four that you mentioned, but then the four within the last one, a little bit of it all makes it much stronger. So now as we work, if our clients supply us an email, every time we gather an email, we send one out. So it's not really an email campaign. They don't, you know, subscribe from them. So all our agents have double screens. So we are calling and we're emailing in most cases right on. Every time we cold do one, we do the other. We also send some letterhead for our clients, or some letters on their letterhead. So we also are doing a little bit of direct mail, the same thing, very boutique, as we gather a name, as we do this. So we do outreach in multiple ways, including calls. So which way is better? I do the combination.
So for like an organization like ours, and I'm sure there's other organizations like that, we have a service provider who is doing cold email outreach for us. And we have another service provider that's doing LinkedIn cold outreaches for us. But we don't have someone doing cold calling. So if we brought you guys in to do that, do you guys work with the other service providers to see how you can make everything sort of go better?
Oh, for sure. I mean, not only that, the data we gather, like all those emails, will help bulk up your other strategies and hopefully vice versa. If people are doing email campaigns, give me that click-through list. Let me call them right after they went to your website. That's perfect. It's powerful. You're front of mind. So if those partners are willing to share that data back and forth, yeah, it can be great.
Yeah, that's where you really build a cohesive cold outreach strategy for your business.
Correct, yeah.
So, yeah, and one of my favorite things about cold outreach, and I learned this from Alex Formosi, is that like cold outreach is it's like an unsung hero in the business world that nobody likes to talk about it, but you can build massive businesses that nobody even knows you exist, right? Where you're not, because you don't even have to be in the other categories. You can build 10, 20, $30 million companies just off of the back of cold outreach, and your competitors don't know what you're doing because it's not public on Facebook's ad library. There's no ads anywhere that are showing off your sales funnels or any of those kind of things. You can't get funnel hacked if you're familiar with the online marketing space where someone's right. Going through and following your funnel and copying what you're doing, because all the cold stuff is just, it's like the silent assassin in the marketing world.
I love that thought. I've never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right. I mean, you get under the wire sometimes too.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a huge fan of cold outreach. We're actively trying to build that strategy out for our company. So I'm excited to have you on the call here just to talk about that. And for anyone who's listening, if you don't have a cold outreach strategy in your business, you know, we've already talked about several, but man, it's a great thing to add to your marketing repertoire, and it'll make everything else you're doing better and stronger. So I'm a fan.
Dang, awesome.
So what I want to start out with is your origin story, right? Every good comic book hero has an origin story. It's the thing that made you into the hero that you are today. And we want to hear that story. Were you born a hero, or were you bit by a radioactive spider that made you want to get into the cold calling business, right? Or did you start in a job and eventually move to become an entrepreneur? Basically, we want to know where you came from.
Yeah, you know, my family was entrepreneurial. I guess I come from a long line of superheroes, right? So my family's entrepreneurial. They all had different endeavors. I don't know why I didn't think about going into my dad's business. It was more, what am I going to do? So I kind of looked at, you know, some franchises, mailboxes, et cetera, back in the day when there was such a thing. And then I realized I'm such a sales chick. I really like sales. I like helping companies. And the startup was nothing. I had a toddler at home and a headset. Boom, I'm in business. Back in the years, 25 years ago, when you weren't staring, I was in my, whatever. And not as afraid to fly without a net. As you get here, as you get a little bit more seasoned, but Yeah, not much. And I was in business. And then I started adding agents one by one, kind of slow and steady. Still, you know, most we consider a small company, 30 agents. And I'm still growing the leaps and bounds. So I really just saw it neat. People will say, I hate to cold call. And I love it. And so if you like it, you get to talk to people on the phone all day. And just like that, I was in business.
Nice. I love that. It brings up something that I think a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is the idea that, you know, they have to do everything in their business. And especially younger entrepreneurs, I know I went through that phase and still sometimes struggle with that. I was like, oh man, I have to do this, even though I've got staff who can do things better than me. And you realize at some point that they're like, hey, the things that you hate doing, there's someone else out there who doesn't just like doing it. Like, it gives them energy. It makes them happy. It makes their right. life complete, right? It's, you know, I can't remember the guy who does has this quote, but it's like, go out and find what makes you come alive, because the world needs more people who are doing the things that make them come alive. Like, you know, cold calling makes you come alive, and you've built a whole business around it, and you're building a whole family first company around it. Like, if you don't like cold calling and you don't want to build and manage the staff to do it, find someone like Patricia who loves it, who it's their passion to do cold calling really well. And that, like, it fits in every category of your business. But man, I just love that.
Yes. I think my business coach is always asking, you know, to me, we make lists of things I like to do and things I don't like to do, and get rid of the things you don't like to do. Why are you still doing this list? It's not, it just becomes a turn in where it's, you know, I drag my feet on such things. And you're right. There's people that like to do the stuff you don't like to do. And you know, you know, not that crazy of a sentence, but when you put it that way, the way you just said it just makes so much sense. You know, just, you don't like it. Why are we doing it? Someone else that really likes it.
And they'll do a better job of it for you, and you'll get better results for it, right? Which is particularly important when you're talking about marketing and sales, because that's the lifeblood of your company, right? I think it was Peter Drucker who said, operations serves at the behest of marketing and sales. So, you know, no matter how good the rest of your company is, if you're marketing and sales, you know, chugging along, find the people who love to make that work for you, and then, you know, get them to do that work.
Yeah.
So I want to talk then about your superpowers, right? Every iconic hero has a superpower, whether that's your fancy flying suit made by your genius intellect or the ability to call down thunder from the sky, or super strength. In the real world, heroes have what I call a zone of genius, which is either a skill or a set of skills that you were born with or you developed over the course of your career that really energize all the rest of your skills. And so the way I like to frame this for my guests is this superpower, if you look at everything you've developed over your career, you probably have a common thread that sort of ties all the skills that you've developed together. And that common thread is where your superpower is. So with that framing, what do you think your superpower is in your business?
That's a very interesting question. I think my superpower is very quickly understanding a company's targets and the best selling points they should be using to attract them. I think me making a list and me personally making the script, which again, my business coach will say I should hand off. I keep saying that is my forte. I can talk to someone for an hour and let them talk about the business, and I come out with the three sentences I know that we should be going in with on the phone. And I think that is a big deal. I think my forte is really, it just comes very clear to me what's gonna make people say yes to them, at least on the phone.
Yeah, what's gonna sell the appointment?
Yep.
The shortest route from pick up the phone to let's talk.
Right. I think that's my superpower.
I love that. So my curiosity then, is that a superpower that you've developed with experience, or is that a superpower that you had when you started?
You know, the marketing, you know, it's hard to know what came first, but you know, the chicken or the egg. As a philosophy major. So literally, you know, learning how people think and understanding. Yeah, I was a philosophy and psychology dual major. So I, you know, reading people is just kind of, I don't know where it came from, but it feels like it's been very natural for a long time. And I think I was probably born with a good chunk of it.
I love that. I know you said you loved sales early on, so it's something that you just fell into. My curiosity then is, for that sort of skill set, something that you were sort of born into and you developed a business around. And I know, like, your business coach has been telling you, I got to hand that off. And I'm struggling with the same thing in my business, where, like, I realize sort of my skill set is in on the operations side, helping build, like, the systems and the operations, like the things that power everything. I'm, like, really good at that. It gives me a lot of energy to work on automations and work on the systems and the SOPs and that kind of stuff. And I feel very happy there. And I know whenever I put the time and effort into those things, that it moves the needle for our company. And then everything else that I do doesn't move the needle, right? Like, it's just work that has to get done. And I know would get done if some done better if someone else did it. So
kind of right.
My curiosity is, how have you been handling that feedback from your coach, where you're like, where you sort of realized, no, this is my superpower, and this is the thing that I need to do for my company. Like, it's the thing that I show up, and when I do this, it moves the needle. So how do you handle that feedback? How do you sort of own that as a superpower in your company?
Well, and I should not, my business coach is always talking about the bits and pieces I should hand off. He adamantly believes I should not be the sales. So his goal for me is to try to hand off all the other stuff that I don't love doing. So I actually have a new back office VP of operations. It is my second attempt. And no, 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 if you add in positions, but I hate to doom the first person in any position. But for me, the first one is always kind of it's always a practice for both of us. You can write all the job descriptions and try all you can. But I kind of had my first experiment. And so this one's going much better. And she is amazing and phenomenal and taking a lot off my shoulders already. So my goal is to not look at as many contracts and getting the business cards printed and, you know, to not have to do so much of the back office stuff and really free myself out to talk to clients so then I can have the direct conversations to write with scripts and bullets. Now, my other sales reps, I have full confidence in them as well. I do work with them on their scripting, but it is easy when you talk to the client to hear what should be the bullet. So they do a lot of their own, and they're phenomenal as well. We worked a lot together on picking out the best. I try to teach them how I figure out the bullets, and they really are doing a great job too. So I'm just doing everything I can to be diligent and not doing anything but sales. The more I can do sales, I'm happy, the world's happy, the company's happy, it goes from there.
That's exactly sort of what I've been thinking too, is like, I want to get to the point where like everything else that the company needs to have done is getting done by someone that's not me. And then right. The one thing that I'm really good at is the only thing that I show up and do, because every time I show up and do it, good things happen.
Yep. There you go. I love that. Yeah.
So let's flip gears then, right? So if your superpower is that ability to just know exactly what to say to get someone on the phone, the flip side of the superpower is always the fatal flaw, right? So just like Superman has his kryptonite, or Wonder Woman can't remove her bracelets of victory without going mad, you probably have a flaw that's held you back in your business, something you've struggled with. For me, you know, I'm a systems guy. So perfectionism is my thing. Like, I could always make it a little bit better. I could tweak it a little bit more before we ship it. And like, I'm still struggling with that right now. Sometimes we're moving our whole operation system to a new one. And I'm like, man, we should have launched it last week. But I'm like, oh, we can make this a little bit better and that a little bit better. So I'm like, okay, we're going to have to ship minimum viable product before we run out of money or anything else. But I think more important than what the flaw is, how have you worked to overcome it so you could continue to grow? And hopefully sharing a little bit of your experience would be valuable for our listeners.
Great. Yeah. Like I would say, my fatal flaw is, like many sales reps, we're all kind of a take notes on a cocktail napkin kind of crew, right? They make one CRM after another for us. And to get your sales reps to be diligent about putting stuff in a CRM, most sales managers will tell you it is insane to try to get sales reps to do that. We're just all over, right? Now driving around and I'm taking notes in my car. And then, you know, if you looked at any place other than this 2 feet right here, my office doesn't look like that. You know, I mean, it's just where I would say organizationally, it's really hard to get us to put everything in our CRM and to do everything exactly right. So I have people and places and systems built up over the years to help me to combat that. So, I mean, luckily I do have admin that can help me put my notes in after 40 minutes and things like that, because it isn't my strong suit. Now, I'm learning in a CRM where I'd open it up, but it is, there's a lot of details in sales reps' lives as far as this prospect and that and this and that. And just being very diligent in our organization, in our organizational ability, has been a challenge for me, like I said, most sales reps. So I work on it like every other sales rep. I make sure I log everything in my CRM.
I'm a nerd on that side. So like, I'm the same way whenever I do sales, because, you know, CEO, you got to put on all the hats. And so I'll do sales when I need to do sales. And so I know I was terrible at all that too, but like, systems are the things that I'm good at. So I was like, I'm going to make it so like the calendar automatically creates a record in the CRM. And then when you call, it automatically looks up that record and puts the recording on the CRM. And then working on now getting the transcript to like automatically get passed through AI and make the notes and automatically add it to the record. So like all I got to do is show up on the phone call and all the rest of the stuff takes care of itself.
So nice. It's so nice when you get it down like that. It's
awesome. Yeah. I'm hoping it'll help all the sales guys on our team too. We've only got one at this point, but yeah, like that. Just like, hey, look, we built all these systems because, you know, your boss is neurotic. So there's systems in place to help you make this easier.
Yep. Love it.
So let's talk then about your common enemy, right? Every superhero has an arch nemesis, and it's a thing that they constantly have to fight against in their world. So in the world of business, it takes on a lot of forms, but generally speaking, we put it in the context of your clients, and it's a mindset or a flaw that you constantly have to fight to overcome so you can actually get your clients the result that they came to you for in the first place. And so in your business of phone sales, B2B sales, what is, or lead generation, what is that common enemy that you constantly have to fight to overcome?
Things I wish were different, maybe. You know, I would say the biggest thing that is difficult in this regard is people's perception that because they outsource, I know the three people ready to buy right now, right? If you hire me, it doesn't mean that I'm going to call the right person on the right day and they want to buy from you today. What I am going to do is I'm going to call every small business in a parameter you tell me to, just like any other type of marketing. And sometimes we reach the person during the right time and sometimes we don't. I'm not sure if I'm saying this right. It's like most people feel like if they outsource to me, that every appointment's going to be ready to buy, that we're only going to call people that say yes, that when they go, they're all going to be ready to buy, that they don't have to follow up with them, that everything's just going to be laid down like a yellow brick road. Where really what we do is just start filling your pipe work. We get you one introduction that then has to work. You still got to stop by and give them a proposal and check in on them and drop them by donuts or send them a thank you card. I can't make you estate all of those, that sales process, but I can help you escape getting in the door to start the sales process. So that's one of the things that I have to talk about, it seems like, a lot and at the most upfront to align expectations.
Yeah, it's interesting because that seems to be common across the agency space. Anyone who's doing marketing for other businesses is they think that marketing is somehow a magic bullet for a sales process.
Right.
And it's not, right? It is the first step in a sales process is that, you know, we get the attention of a prospect who says, I might have that problem. You might have a solution for me. Right. But you still have to go through the work of building a relationship and building that know, like, and trust. And then actually selling your service to them, right? And it's not always the right time for them to buy. So if it's not the right time for them to buy, do you have the follow-up process in place to check in on them and see when it is the right time for them to buy? Like, you don't get to get out of those things just because now you're doing cold calls or now you're doing email or now you're doing fill in the marketing thing here.
Correct. Then we can do the follow-up for them too. So they can go on the appointment and they can say, okay, they're going to have a... they're going to be looking to do this in about a year. Give them a call every 2 to 3 months until they're all ready. And then we do that. It's a story, one person and the same person with it. So we can even help with the follow-up calls. And we started doing that, quite honestly, because people weren't calling them ever again. They would go on an appointment and never contacting them again. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's like the golden ticket. You just got to call them. So we started doing this to make our program more effective for them. I think it is across marketing that it. I wish it were, you know, where we waited but warned, but we just help you with the grind. What we do.
There's no escaping the putting in the work, right?
It really isn't.
And man, I think it was Dan Kennedy who said the money's in the follow-up. And it's true no matter what strategy you're using to get the first conversion, right? That first conversation.
Right. You know, what other things just interesting, 60% of our appointments are made on the first or second attempt at that number. Another 20% are made on the third to fourth attempt on that number. But a full 20% of our appointments are made on the fifth attempt or more on a number.
Wow.
And so I don't think people, that's the 20% that I guarantee you your competitors aren't getting.
Yeah.
Because they just don't try. They don't try that long. You know what I mean? Maybe a call, maybe one, but It's very important. You know what I mean? You can still get 60% of two crawls. It's not nothing. But to get that full under 40%, you got to work a little harder, Richard.
I can't tell you how much I love that statistic, because it is, it's just so true in everything. That just, there's that story that's real famous about the guy who was digging for oil, and then he stopped and gave up, and then someone else bought his property and he dug another 10 feet and struck oil, right? Just like, yep. Just dig a little bit more, right? The whole never give up attitude kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just, business is one of those few categories in the world that if you just don't give up, you're almost guaranteed to succeed.
It's true. It's true. You know, a lot of what we do, Marnie, initial contracts are 90 days long. And, you know, most of my competitors are 6 months or a year, but I wouldn't want to pay someone right on a dotted line untested that long, right? So I made a contract something that I would feel comfortable signing. 3 months long. I've got 13 weeks to impress you. Now, will some of my clients get direct ROI on that 90 days? Sure. I would say as long as they keep up with them, nearly, I would say they nearly all sell something and they keep up with those leads a year later. So I even every year send to my clients, this is who we've introduced you to the pet in the past. Who do we introduce you to in the future? Because I think people forget it. They get a phone call and they forget we introduced them a year ago.
Yeah.
So I make sure that they have the list of all those introductions, because it matters that over time they close. They don't all close right away, but over time, as long as you work them, they'll close.
Yeah, yeah. We've noticed the same thing with all the cold channels that we're in, that, you know, just for those people who are interested in this kind of stuff, we do, like, your warmest channel is a referral, right? Someone, or a referral or, like, an endorsement from an existing business where, like, Patricia calls up, you know, John is like, hey, John, you need to talk to Richard about starting a podcast. And then, you know, because, you know, John's looking for a podcast. When he calls me, he's really warm. Which is very different than, you know, calling John out of the blue and saying, hey, are you interested in a podcast? And what we've noticed is that our warm channels have a very short sales cycle, right? Because they come warm, they come introduced, they know who we are, they already trust us. And we might go from first contact to close, one, maybe two calls, couple of days, right? And then we talk to cold channels. Our cold channels are the, like, opposite, where our first introduction might just be like, they're learning what we do and that we offer these services. And they're like, yeah, that's actually on our plan, but it's not till like next quarter or, you know, 2 quarters from now or next year. And sometimes it'll be 2 or 3 calls or emails or things like that over the course of months before someone closes. But if we are consistent with our follow-up, we've got like one of the guys that we're chatting with right now, we started talking to in October, right? And he just reached back out to us and was like, I think we're ready to get started now, right? And let's go for that. So it was like a 6-month sales cycle from a cold channel. And, you know, we do a fairly good job of keeping track of where we got those introductions from. So we know, like, hey, this guy came from LinkedIn or came from email, or, you know, hopefully in the future it came from a sales call or something like that from our cold calling. But you have to know that if you're doing, like, in each of those categories, the buy, borrow, build, blitz, they all have a different length to their sales cycle. And cold has the longest. Right. So your follow-up is the most important thing you can do.
Yep. Preach on. It's true.
She's like, preach it. That's what I need all my people to know. So let's talk about the flip side of the common enemy, right? So if your common enemy is what you have to fight against, and that's the expectations we just talked about, then your driving force is what you fight for, right? So just like Spider-Man fights to save New York, or Batman fights to save Gotham, or Google fights to index and categorize all the world's information, I want to know what it is that you fight for, your mission, so to speak.
Well, my mission, I love to help businesses grow. I get a real kick out of working with my business owner friends and helping them, you know, with the challenges of the marketing and sales part of their businesses. I really enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. We're in the same boat, right? That's why we run the podcast. Sure. I'm a huge fan of storytelling as a method for growing a company. And man, it's fun to be in a place where you're like, I can leverage my superpowers to help someone else make their lives better and make the lives of the people they work with better and just, you know, provide value in the way that we can provide value.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm always a business coach. And I've been on peer boards, like Tara has one, this stage, I don't know if there's groups. But you basically sit on in a board and you meet with people once a month, and you meet with them for years, and they're non-competing businesses, and you talk about strategies and help each other grow up your businesses. Well, I've been on boards before where I'm sitting on the board and there's an accountant and a business lawyer, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be so much help to me. All this, I can ask questions once a month without having to pay for a lawyer. I'm going to, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful they're on my board. And I think, what's a lawyer and accountant need me for? And I go on these boards and they're so happy to have a marketing person. The lawyer's got no idea how to market his company. The accountant, no idea how to market his company. Kind of goes back to that, you do what you like, or what you're really good at. So it's been interesting over the years, almost undervaluing what I could offer to a group, when the whole time they're really excited, their marketing person is on their board. So I think all the skills that we each bring to things is very important.
Yeah. It reminds me of one of the discussions I have with a friend of mine regularly is about the sort of the idea that one of the things that makes humanity as powerful as we are is our community. Right? The fact that we aren't individuals, I mean, we are, like, the individual is super important to what we do, but it's like, it's because we're a community of individuals is what makes us powerful. And we each have our skills and our strengths, and we share those with each other. Yep. That makes us like unstoppable. And so when you get a crew of people together, you're like, man, you're really good here, and you're really good here, and you're really good here. That's when you start getting to, you know, to put it back in comic book terms, that's where you get the Avengers and the Justice League, right?
Right. It's true. It's a trying through form, right? It's what you need.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk a little bit then about your hero's tool belt, right? This is the practical portion of our show. And just like every superhero has a tool belt with their awesome gadgets, like their battle rings or their web slingers or their laser eyes or their big magical hammer that they used to spin around and fly with. I'm going to talk about the top one to two tools that you couldn't live without in your business. Could be anything from your notepad to your sticky notes to your calendar to your marketing tools or something you use to do your product delivery, your actual service delivery. Something you think is essential to getting your job done on a daily basis. What's one of your most used or most important practical tools in your business?
Well, from a broad term, CRM. I don't know how companies live without a CRM. And 95% of these sales organizations I work with that want more sales have no CRM. So I don't know how they do that. And then specifically, I really like ACT. And ACT is an older CRM. They have the online version, they've kept up and everything, but they don't advertise as much as like Salesforce or Zoho or HubSpot. And we use all of those products for our clients. We can dial into your CRM, but I really think ACT is about the best product out there. And it's definitely awesome tool in my tool belt to be able to do what I do. It's fast, it's easy, everything's on one page, everything is user friendly. So definitely my ACT CRM is one thing I could not live without.
So not that anyone who's listening to us doesn't know what a CRM is, but for those who might not, tell us a little bit about what a CRM is and why you think it's important for what you do.
So CRM is a tool where you put information on your clients and prospects, and mine is like a book form. So I pull up and it's got a page for this client. And you can put notes about them, how your conversation went. You can send an alarm when it's time to call them back. You can email directly out of it. You can link to all kinds. You mentioned other products. You can link your calendar to dump right into your CRM. So a CRM organizes all your sales data. So when I sit down and open ACT today, it's going to have my task list pop up of anybody that's due to call today or maybe this week, however I have it set. So that doesn't mean if I just talked to them last week and put a reminder on, is a reminder today I call or a 6-month callback, everybody I'm due to call, I'll have a nice clean list so I can remember to call them. So it does all kinds of things like that. It'll track your clients' birthdays. But the biggest thing is notes and emails. And then when you're going to call back with alarms and reminders, it's just impossible. I couldn't do my job without it.
Yeah. We actually just set up we had a CRM for a while, but we just moved to close.com as a CRM that our team is using right now.
I don't know that one. That's a new one. Yeah, I usually bring over model. Awesome. I'll have to check it out.
And so we're setting that up and going through the whole process and just realizing that, like, man, having a CRM in place means that you can like keep track of everything. And for someone like me who's not doing the sales anymore, right, we've passed it on to a salesperson. That means like it also gives me visibility, right, as the founder, right, of like what's the sales team up to? Who are we calling? Where are the statuses of all those things? Because you can see them in the pipeline and see whether or not things are being followed up with. And it's really cool. Like if a client calls me, right, or one of the lead calls me, because, you know, my information is public as the founder of the company, they can get a hold of me for some reason. I can pull up their record and see every conversation that they've had with my salesperson, right? I can see all the notes that they have on them. I can see any of the recorded calls that they've got there. I can see any of the text messages that they've got, right? It's really cool to just be able to like have one place for that. And I'm with you, man. A CRM makes it so that you can actually like keep track of all of the work that you're doing. And if you're trying to grow a company, you are going to have more activity than you can keep track of in your head.
You will. It's really, I don't know how anybody does it, you know? I mean, and when I speak on prospecting, which I do at some of these trade shows, I'll even say, you want to go old school and get a January through December accordion folder and get note cards and just put this company and you talk to them in April and you're going to put it in a June spot. You got to do something to remind yourself to call. If you want to go old school like that, do it on index cards. CRM's a lot easier. They make tools now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it is it's indispensable.
Yeah. My favorite thing for me is when I can get the CRM to talk to like my iPhone calendar and like put an appointment on my phone. It's like, you need to call so-and-so at 10 o'clock today.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I have an appointment to call someone.
That's awesome. Awesome.
Cool.
Speaking of heroic tools, I want to take a few minutes to tell you about a tool we built that powers the Hero Show and is now this show's primary sponsor. Hey there, fellow podcaster. Having a weekly audio and video show on all the major online networks that builds your brand, creates fame, and drives sales for your business doesn't have to be hard. I know it feels that way because you've tried managing your show internally and realize how resource intensive it can be. You felt the pain of pouring 8 to 10 hours of work into just getting 1 hour of content published and promoted all over the place. You see the drain on your resources, but you do it anyways because you know how powerful it is. Heck, you've probably even tried some of those automated solutions and ended up with stuff that makes your brand look cheesy and cheap. That's not helping grow your business. Don't give up though. The struggle ends now. Introducing Push Button Podcasts, a done-for-you service that will help you get your show out every single week without you lifting a finger after you've pushed that stop record button. We handle everything else: uploading, editing, transcribing, writing, research, graphics, publication, and promotion, all done by real humans who know, understand, and care about your brand almost as much as you do. Empowered by our own proprietary technology, our team will let you get back to doing what you love while we handle the rest. Check us out at pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero for 10% off the lifetime of your service with us and see the power of having an audio and video podcast growing and driving micro celebrity status and business in your niche without you having to lift more than a finger to push that stop record button. Again, that's pushbuttonpodcast.com/hero. See you there. And now, back to the Hero Show.
So, I have just a couple more questions for you. I want to talk a little bit about your own personal heroes, right? Every hero has their mentors, just like Frodo had Gandalf, or Luke had Obi-Wan, or Robert Kiyosaki had his rich dad, or even Spider-Man had his Uncle Ben. Who were some of your heroes? Were they real-life mentors? Were they speakers, authors, maybe peers who were a couple of years ahead of you? And how important were they to what you've accomplished so far in your business?
Well, I think in regard to the sales arena, I got to mention my dad. It's all about my dad. My dad was an unbelievable salesperson, but he was always teaching me, reading people. Early on, he taught me that when you sit in a restaurant and you get your client the better view. And I do this to this day. If I sit in a booth, I make sure I'm staring at the wall and whoever I'm with gets the better view of the windows or whatever. And it's a little thing, but I don't know. I just don't really do it now. You know, he used to always carry his own pen because when he had to sign in the buildings to go in, he wanted his ink to be a different color than everybody else's. So even other people signing in would see Edward Berry from Interiors Unlimited was here today because his is the only one in blue in the middle of a big gray sea of names. So I don't know. He was just 100% on all the time as far as thinking about sales and understanding people and how to reach them. So he was for sure, I got to mention him as a mentor in business for sure.
It actually, it's one of those questions that as I ask that to more and more people, it always surprises me how often in the entrepreneurship world, particularly, it's mom or dad. Right. Or sometimes grandpa. Yeah. Right. It's like it's almost like there's something about entrepreneurship that it's like a family gene that's passed down. Something that, you know, us crazy people who want to get into business for ourselves.
Right. I mean, you know, one time, one time on a Saturday, my dad's like, I got to stop by this restaurant. So we went by this restaurant, Snotty Horse, again, right from St. Louis. It was a German place. He went by and he asked the manager and he said, "Hey, listen, I was here with a client last week and they stole an ashtray of yours with your logo on it. I want to pay for it." Well, as usual, I love my father who does that, right? You know, so I was so happy he went back. What a lesson as a kid. But he also told me he would never kind of embarrass this client in that moment. Oh, whatever. Sure. I love their ashtrays. All that. But, you know, it's just amazing how much when you're with a parent that is constantly on about clients, how many little things you can pick up. Maybe that's it. What other mentor could I possibly have as much exposure to that my dad made it his life mission to teach me about clients and people?
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I've always sort of thought to myself, at least, that one of my early mentors, he said to me that, you know, your kids are going to grow up someday. And when they grow up, they're going to have their own heroes. And if you're not worthy, it won't be you. And I didn't have kids then, but that's always stuck with me. I got four kids now. And I realize how true that is, right? That like, if you're not worth being their hero, they'll pick someone else.
Right.
And so it's a thought that's constantly on my mind. Like, how are my thoughts and my actions and the way that I interact with the world? How is that showing up for my children? Am I worth being a hero for them?
Yeah.
So I always love that and love to hear that, you know, other people have the sort of the same experience. So yeah. I got one more question for you, and that's your guiding principles, right? One of the things that makes heroes heroic is that they live by a code. For instance, Batman never kills his enemies. He only ever brings them to Arkham Asylum. So as we wrap up the interview, I want to talk about the top one, maybe two principles that you use regularly in your life. Maybe something you wish you'd known when you first started your business.
Guiding principle. I really like people here to have work-wise balance. We talked a little bit about family first, but it's just life first. Some of my folks don't have even kids or, you know, they don't have families. We need families but first. But one of my guiding principles is that I want everybody to have very full, happy lives. And I hope that their job is part of that. So we work really hard to make it part of that. But I never want to detract from their life. I want them to have full lives.
Yeah.
I want you to go to your kids' Halloween party. I want you to be there for the baseball game. You know, it's alien to me that people are like, yeah, the last job I would have thought and they would tell me no. I mean, I don't know. We're grown-ups. If you want to go to your kid's baseball party, I can't imagine saying no and then have them sit here and work. That is like an alien thing to me, you know? Now, maybe we're not brain surgeons, so nothing's that urgent, right? We can call tomorrow instead of tonight. So maybe that makes me, allows me to be a little bit more fluid in that. But that's definitely a guiding principle. I want everybody to have happy lives.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I tell all of my staff that, like, hey, the family first entrepreneurship thing, what that means is, like, if you go have your kid's baseball game, you don't ask for permission to go to your kid's baseball game. You just let your staff, you know, whoever you're working with know, like, hey, this needs to get taken care of by this date if you're not going to be able to make it. Otherwise, like, hit your due dates, make sure your stuff is taken care of. Go to the kid's baseball game and then share pictures with the team. Like, we want to see.
Yeah.
And part of the philosophy there is that, like, the business is not an entity unto itself. I mean, legally it is an entity, but it doesn't exist without the individuals that make it up. And so the business really should serve the communities that it's a part of. And so that means, you know, a lot of businesses are like, hey, the community that we serve is our clients, but you're like, but that's not it. It's your clients is part of it, but it's also the staff and the team members that you've built is part of the community that you're serving. And so if we've set our business up in a way that we can't afford to let you go to your kid's baseball game or show up for your mom's surgery, then the problem isn't with you and your community. The problem is with our business and how we're showing up in that community.
And I think, you know, another guiding principle of mine has been to balance that, to always, you know, have a great life balance outside of here. But also the expectation is to constantly be finding ways to do better for our clients. We come together as groups, we come together as teams. So, you know, it's very easy in what we do to write a script and never change it, right? We're saying the same thing, but we very purposefully change it. Very purposefully move bullets around. We very purposefully move different bullets in every few months for our clients so we don't become robotic. So we can continue to think, how can we do better for them? What can we say? What are we hearing back from people that we can now change the scripting a little? As I said, we figure out what the challenge is an area, no representation or whatever. So we're constantly working on our clients. And I think that combined approach of be happy in your life and try to always do better for our clients when we're at work is just a winning combo. I do.
Yeah. Because, you know, I still do. I talk constantly about a concept I call permission to play. I'm eventually going to write a book about it at some point. But the idea is that rest and recreation, right, the whole family first part that we're talking about, is a lot of times treated as a reward for a job well done, right? That's the way entrepreneurs think about it. And then you realize that, like, in reality, it's not a reward for a job well done. It's a prerequisite for showing up and doing good work. Right. And so you're talking about showing up and doing good work, but you know you can't have your people show up and do good work if they aren't alive and thriving in their communities, right? If they aren't putting themselves and putting their families first, they can't show up and do good work. So you want to do great work for your clients and you guys are doing that, but, like, you know already that the prerequisite is you have to show up in your community.
Right. Again, very well put. How can you even begin to focus on work if you're not happy outside of work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I love that. I think it's a great place to wrap our interview. But I do finish every interview with a simple challenge. And the challenge is called the Heroes Challenge. And I do this to help get access to stories that we might not otherwise find on our own. Because, you know, not everyone is out doing the podcast rounds like you or I might do. So the question is simple. Do you have someone in your life or in your network that you think has a cool entrepreneurial story? Who are they? First names are fine. And why do you think they should come share their story with us here on the Hero Show? First person that comes to mind for you.
My business coach is Big Ranch Black. They're amazing.
Yeah. And why do you think she should come share our story with us?
Because they basically built their business from scratch. They are a husband and wife team that's just, I don't know, with a decade. And they're so inspirational and so helpful and always there for us, for all of their clients. I think they're phenomenal and their story should be told.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see if we can reach out and maybe get an introduction for that. They don't always come and say yes, but when they do, we get cool stories out of it. But for us here on this show, we always have our send-off, right? In comic books, there's always the crowd of people at the end who are cheering and clapping for the acts of heroism. For analogous to that, as we close the show, we want to know, where can people find you if they want your help in the future? Where can they light up the bat signal and say, hey, Patricia, we need to get some cold calling going in our business? But I think more importantly than where should they light up the bat signal is who are the right types of businesses to reach out and actually ask for your help?
For anybody that's, well, being, so, I mean, IT companies, insurance agents, but, you know, almost anybody, like I said, janitorial, printers, vending, paint companies, anybody that's business to business, we can help. My website's rainmakersalessupport.com. My email is Patricia@rainmakersalessupport.com. And, you know, I don't have my toll-free number, although I think that's even a little bit outdated anyway. So I'm just going to go with my number is 314-433-4660. It's the company number.
Nice. And then, so just because I see it in the background there, is that Pick Up the Phone and Sell? Is that your book as well?
It is not my book, but it doesn't hurt to have that in the background, right?
I was like, pick up the phone and sell. I was like, that sounds like what you need to do.
At one of the trade shows, and it's a great message. So yeah, there it is.
Awesome. So we'll make sure that your contact information is in the show notes below this show. So if someone's looking to get cold calling added to their marketing repertoire, which I absolutely believe you should have at least one, if not more, of those cold strategies in your business to grow, definitely take the time to reach out to Patricia. Thank you for coming on today and sharing your story with us. Really appreciate you just taking the time to do that. Do you have any final words of wisdom for our audience before we hit the stop record button?
Well, Richard, I do want to thank you for this opportunity. It's always fun to talk about how you got here. So thank you so much. And the only thing I can say for the audience is keep at it. You know, it's numbers in. It's a numbers game. Pick up the phone. The appointments will happen.
Awesome. Thank you, Patricia.
Thanks. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of The Hero Show, where we work to shift the cultural narrative around entrepreneurship and celebrate the heropreneurs who make our world a better place. Don't forget to visit our website at theheroshow.tv, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you'll never miss an episode. If you found value in our show, we'd truly appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or better yet, share it with a friend to help us spread the message of entrepreneurship as a force for good. Curious to learn more about the stories and insights of these incredible heropreneurs? Check out our in-depth interviews and resources on our website. Together, let's support and inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs as they embark on their own heroic journeys. Join us again next week for another episode of The Hero Show, where we'll continue to explore the world of heropreneurs, their superpowers, and the positive impact they bring to our lives. Until then, stay heroic.